this town is filled with, as many of you know, storytelling events. They go on in saloons, they go on in restaurants, I think they probably go on in laundromats. One of the recent entries into that crowded field is something called Listen Up, which takes place, maybe the nicest place to have a storytelling event, in the at the restaurant Carnival. And sort of, I know you're not going to take full credit for this, but I am calling Paul Teato, my friend, a writer and a storyteller, the producer, the impresario of this event. So, Paul, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Rick?
Good. How did you, before we start talking about the latest Listen Up, which takes place this Thursday at 6:30, how did you start, remind me how you entered the storytelling world?
It's a story, but I'll make it
good. It may not be the story people want to hear from you, but I wanted to hear it.
14, 15 years ago, I had a girlfriend who I actually was engaged to. Mm. And she said, you should go to this thing called the Moth. I said, I don't know what that means. And she said, it's a storytelling show, and they're just getting started in New York and in Chicago. You throw your name in a hat. If they pull your name out, you get up on stage and you tell a story. If the crowd likes you more than the other people that had their names drawn out of a hat, you win. I said, it sounds interesting. So I won. I went, threw my name in a hat, and I told a story about me and my good friend Tom Myers, who you've met.
Sure, you're a collaborator. You collaborate on a novel. Yeah.
Right. The theme that night was road trips, and I told a story about how Tom and I had an exciting road trip back from Tijuana to Chicago, when unfortunately we slayed 13 sheep in a blizzard.
Oh, Lord. Good Lord. I've never heard that story from you. I've heard your famous story about being picked up as a hitchhiker by a serial killer who we all know and do not admire at all. What appealed to you about it, Paul? What was it about getting up and talking in front of a crowd of strangers, basically, except for your then fiance?
It's a rush. It's fun. Uh-huh. It's something that I like to do. I come from a big Italian family. When I was a little kid, everybody sat around the table and told stories, and the next person went up the next, and the next person went up the next, and they told them in a way which made them interesting.
Sure.
And I liked it. And I guess I developed the talent for that.
You've won prizes, so to speak. Not all prizes are, you know, huge money or anything, but it is an indication of one's ability to tell a story. You tell people who don't know about it. People do not just get up and start talking about the first thing that comes into their head. I mean, many of these stories are, even though they're read and not read off a sheet of paper, are pretty polished, don't you think?
Yes, excellent. Excellent point. Some of the storytellers in Chicago, one who you know pretty well, Master Gomez,
absolutely.
Can get up,
sure,
and yeah, tell you a story about watching water drip out of a faucet and make it exciting and memorable, heartbreaking or funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way in which the story is told. It's not so much the story itself, it's entertaining, and
yeah.
And some folks have unbelievable stories, and sometimes they get a little help, a little coaching, to present them in a way in which makes them even more memorable and more entertaining.
See, what I've always thought,
and that's really it.
Yeah, what I've always thought about storytelling too is there's a great deal of a huge portion of it is not simply the story; it's the delivery, and in the sense you're talking about being an actor when doing this kind of thing, right? There's a sort of stage dramatic element to the story, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly. And when a person goes on stage and tells a story once, twice, you begin to learn what works, what doesn't work, what you need to do at certain times and what you don't need to do at other times. I was on stage 2 days ago, in front of about 70 people, and I told a story about a young man who I sort of helped raise, who now is a hockey coach. And how the last time I went to see a hockey game that he coached, he asked me to walk out on the middle of the ice, and there I was on the middle of the ice.
Oh, my.
Giving me a big hug.
I mean,
yeah.
Well, it is. I mean, I've always thought, too, it's an interesting way to learn of other people's lives. I mean, as we've become, and I think one of the, and talk to me about this for a second before we have to take a break, is one of the reasons for the proliferation, the pleasant proliferation of storytelling events, is that we have become more and more removed from one another thanks to and because of the internet. You know, everything, you know, a text is not communication as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, I'm an old guy. I'm closing in on 75.
Yep.
I like to talk to people.
Yeah.
I'd rather talk to them either in person or maybe on the telephone as opposed to sending them a text. Even though I do like to write, I just enjoy interacting with people, seeing what the reactions are, feeling my reactions, telling them in different ways what my reactions are. It's a blast. I enjoy it, and I feel much more connected to people when I do it like that.
Well, and I agree, and I think that is one of the, it's not often talked about, but it's certainly felt when you're at a storytelling event, you do feel this common connection with other people. Most of them strangers. Paul Theato is an award-winning storyteller. He's also a novelist with his pal, Tom Myers, who spends most of the winters in Florida. God love him. He has started producing the latest Listen Up is a new entrant into the storytelling world. It takes place at Carnival, that fabulous and colorful restaurant. I don't even think it's West Loop. This Thursday, get there at 6:30, go to Carnival, that's Carnival with an E, chicago.com for all the information. Who have you, you are telling a story. What story are you going to tell, Paul?
Even though it's not Halloween, I'm going to tell a Halloween story.
It's always Halloween at Carnival.
I won a first prize for a costume, but I won't tell you what the costume was unless you come.
Okay. And you sort of work in collaboration with the ever energetic Billy Meravitz in putting these shows on, don't you?
We work together. I am co-producing. I am not producing. It's Billy's club. Billy gets three tellers. I get three tellers. Billy is actually going to get up on stage and tell a story about Frank Sinatra and him.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Do either of you, when you ask one of your friends or one of your friends, especially from the storytelling world, do you parse them? Do you ask, what are you going to talk about? Do you edit at all?
I only ask people who I have seen on stage. If I've seen them on stage four or five times, I ask them to tell one of the stories that I remember.
Gotcha.
One of the folks that I asked, Roberta Miles, is a singer, both a jazz singer and an opera singer, but she's also an artist
and
an essayist.
Yeah.
And she told a story about 7 months ago at Kibitz Nest Bookstore in a show called 10 by 9 that was outstanding. And so she's going to tell that story again. And then another gentleman who I asked, Clarence Sonny Hogan, who is a tour de force. He was on stage at a show I was producing in Homewood about a month ago, 2 months ago, and he blew the roof off.
Wow.
Both with the way he presented and the force by which he presented. Billy has asked Arnie Granite, who is co-founder of Jam Productions.
Yeah. Who has had a colorful, active life. Arnie he's known everybody. I mean, he has literally known everybody and anybody in the world of rock and roll for the last 50 years. Do you know what Arnie's going to talk about?
According to Billy, he's going to sort of lift up the covers of some of the rock stars that he has had personal interactions with over the years.
Uh-huh. That sounds very dangerous.
Steven Mendoza.
How did that happen? Go ahead.
Billy, I believe, has a long-standing relationship with her, given his political past.
Sure.
And she is currently our state controller. Also an outstanding soccer player and got a scholarship to college for playing soccer. And made an all-Midwest college soccer all-star team.
Well, so, I didn't know that. We should mention
she
that
has
Billy
political aspirations, but I don't know exactly.
Yeah,
where they
no,
are.
You would love it if and you'd make big news if Susana Mendoza, the topic of her story was why I am running for mayor of the city of Chicago. That is, you know, that's big, big speculation these days. One of the things about Billy has been he was a former Illinois state representative and a state senator. He created a play called Miracle. Did you see Miracle, Paul?
I did not. No,
yeah,
I did not.
Quite a play. He wrote a song in like 5 minutes. It was in the play. It was a musical about the Cubs and a family who owned a bar nearby. And he is just, he's an active and how many times a day does he call you, Paul?
Some days three or four, I'd say that. He's like the Energizer buddy.
He really is. He's full of ideas. Talk to me for a little while, in a few minutes we have left, about the nature of the crowds. I think the nature of the crowds, it reflects, I think, in some ways, the nature of the venue. Is that accurate at all or no?
I say it's very accurate. You know, I would say that Carnival is both a restaurant and what I would say a nightclub.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The entertainment there varies. And Billy, I don't think, is opposed to having only one kind of entertainment. It could be a singer, could be a magician,
sure,
could be a storytelling show, could be acrobats, a whole variety of things. And he has a multiple number of entertainment rooms, and the room that this show is in is a great room for storytelling. The sound system works well. It's really good.
Well, and it's also intimate. It's also intimate. It is tables close together. It's good, serious drinks available. And what do you think? You know, and I'm going to ask you, do people, I think some people become storytellers and partake of this world because they have ambitions for something else. Others just do it for the pure joy of the thing itself. Do you agree? What did you do it for other than to please your then fiance?
It's like I said, it's a high.
Yeah.
Some people like to jump out of airplanes. It's terrifying, but it's fun.
Yeah.
And I've jumped out of airplanes. I don't think I'll do that again, but I enjoy it. It's fun. It's a way to communicate and connect to people, and it's a thrill, and it's scary because you can tell when you go up there if you flopped, and I flopped, and it keeps me coming back.
Interesting. What do you think the people in the audience are, other than not just the people who may be the brother, sister, cousin-in-law of the person storytelling, but someone who is just interested in hearing a story? What draws them, do you think, Paul Teatro?
The people who've never been, I think what draws them is someone says, come on, do this. I think you're going to like it. And most of the people who go for the first time are very, doubtful,
mm-hmm,
or cautious. And if the show is a knockout show, they're hooked. They
yeah.
keep coming back. And it's entertainment, but it's also informational. I'll never forget, I went to a show about 7 years ago with a buddy of mine, and it was one of the first times he ever went.
Uh-huh.
He's a brilliant guy, and he loves history. And my friend Scott Whitehair, who runs a show at Mrs. Murphy's, had a gentleman who was a gunner on a tank from World War II.
Oh, wow.
And he told of one of the battles he was in. My buddy and I were just locked in, and we felt like we were there.
Mm.
And that's what happens at storytelling.
Yeah.
If you come and you hear Sonny is a mountain of a man, and it's like he reaches into the audience and grabs you virtually and pulls you up on stage with him. His voice carries the length of a football field.
I think I can sense in your voice, Paul Tieta, the rewards, that storytelling. Whatever happened to that fiance?
She dumped me.
Okay.
And now I have a wonderful,
well, you owe her,
girlfriend.
You owe her, though, because I think she pulled you in into a world, I think, sort of later in life that is bringing you incredible kind of rewards. I think, has it helped you as a writer, Paul?
It has. I mean, when I write, I tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell stories, I see and hear what happened.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you've been very generous in reading the books that Tom and I have put together.
I like the books you guys have put together.
They're very, they're very dialogue-centered.
Yep.
They're plot-driven, but there's not as much, you know, aesthetic description as there are interactions with people.
Right,
and,
right.
That's kind of how I try to tell the stories. And like I said, I just told a story 2 days ago in front of about 70 people, and people came up to me. They bought a number of my books, and they were friendly. And it was just a pleasant afternoon.
Well, those books, if you care to look them up, are two novels, Pasta Man and Call Me Z. And that book of short stories, and you know how much I love both novels, but the short story book really bowled me over. It's called South of Cermak, Chicago Stories. Well, any book called South of Cermak would be Chicago Stories. Were you working on anything now, you and Tom? You and or with Tom?
Hopefully May or June, our fourth book will be out. It's called Ray of Hope.
Okay.
It's about a disabled Chicago cop.
Based on people you know or all?
No, pure fiction.
Pure fiction. And tell me again how you guys work. You send stuff back and forth to each other, don't you? That's where the computer age has helped out. Yeah.
Yeah, I do the writing and developing the story, and Tom cleans it up and makes it readable. So we work together well. He tells me to shut up while he's figuring out how to put this in a fashion that someone can understand it, and I just blurt stuff out.
You guys are a good team. I cannot come this Thursday, but I will maybe come to the next Listen Up because it's an ongoing event. It's Thursday at 6:30 at Carnival with an E, Chicago.com is where you can get more information. And Paul, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and get me that book when it's ready.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you. Onward.
You take care. Onward indeed.